You are listening to the Kensington Church Podcast, recorded live in Michigan. To learn more about Kensington, visit kensingtonchurch.org.
Sometimes faith can feel as though it has been reduced to a set of rules, walling us in and keeping us from a true relationship with God and others. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus healed a woman on the Sabbath. Luke 13, verse 12 says, "When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, 'Woman, you are set free from your infirmity.'" The religious rulers were furious, but Jesus combats their posturing with relationship. Jesus reveals a profound truth that genuine connection is more important than adherence to the rules. Jesus reminds us that above all, we must prioritize people over practice. Can we live the Jesus way and put people over practice?
Well, good morning. Welcome to everyone who is joining us online for our first week of our series, Living the Jesus Way. And throughout Scripture, we see that Jesus acted in a way that seemed upside down and at times offended many people. As that video shared, Jesus chose people over adhering to the religious rules of the day. And that kind of got me thinking, how many of us would consider ourselves the rule breakers? Like, if there's a rule, you're like, oh, I'm just made to break that, okay? There's a few of us. Now, where are my rule followers? All right, we got a lot of you, which I appreciate because I am definitely a rule follower. I'm talking through and through. If there is that road sign that says no right-hand turn on a red light, I am sitting there forever. Like, there could be no traffic for miles and miles. It's 3 a.m., and I know that sensor's not going to go off. I'm just sitting there. I'm like, nope, I got to follow the rules. And at times, it drives my husband insane, I think, because we're the opposite when it comes to that. But I think we would all know that there are rules to follow, and it's a good thing. Even those unspoken rules, like, we no peeing in the swimming pool. We're all really grateful when people follow that rule. But then, there are some rules that just seem ridiculous. Like, I looked up some, and there is a law against singing while wearing a swimsuit in Florida. Yeah, so if you're going there for spring break or summer vacation, I just wanted to let you know, because I don't want to see any of you like in handcuffs because you were singing in a swimsuit. Or that in Arizona, it is against the law to have a donkey sleeping in your bathtub after 7 p.m. So before that, it's totally fine. But afterwards, I want to know is what happened for them to create those rules. Like, what was going on with that donkey where they're like, oh, 7 o'clock, the authorities are getting involved now. But there are all types of rules in our lives, or customs, practices that we have, ways of doing things. And I think we all have our own rules. Like, maybe some of you have a rule that you have to have 2 cups of coffee in the morning. Like, you can't do anything unless you have that coffee. Or maybe you have rules of just how you make decisions, whether it's a small thing, could be a big decision in your life. It could be just the practices of how you put all of your energy into maybe your work and how much you work, your performance to try and get success or status or your position or to gain wealth. You have all of these ways you do it. It could be the practices that you have of who you interact with and then really then who you kind of distance yourself from. Maybe because of relational, religious, social, economic, ethnic biases that you've allowed to kind of determine which way and how you want to live and determining value on other people. And at times, our rules or our practices can actually end up hurting people because we'll ignore others. We put up walls in a sense. We'll reject those who are different than us. And we act arrogant, indifferent, neglectful. We become critical of others. But when we look at the life of Jesus, he shows us a different way. He shows us a way of life that focuses on humility and grace, service, forgiveness, putting others ahead of ourselves and living in love. And so today, as we kick off this series, we're going to lean into a story that really invites us into living a more meaningful, more purposeful way, where Jesus reveals the importance of placing people over our practices. And so as we do, I would just love to take a moment to pray and to ask God that he would be the one to speak to our hearts today. Will you join me? God, I just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for every person who is here in the auditorium and those who are watching online. And I pray that as we lean into this story today, that you would show us the ways to live like you, what it means to live our lives in the reflection of who you are, your character, your love, God, and that we would greater understand what it is to place people over the practices in our lives. We give these things to you, God, in your name. Amen. Well, I just have to piggyback off of what Taylor was talking about just a few minutes ago, because I am very excited about our Good Friday and Easter services coming up. I think this is just such a wonderful time where we get to come together as a community to reflect and to celebrate the amazing love of Jesus. And I would encourage you, invite people to come be a part of this. This is something that we are so passionate about because we want people to experience the love and the hope that only comes through Jesus. And so our Good Friday and Easter services are one of those opportunities to do that. But we have other things that we do for people to experience Jesus because we are super passionate about that here. And one of those actually just ended like about an hour and a half ago. Last night, we had about 300 middle school students start their night at 9 p.m. Like when most of us were going to bed, they were kicking it off, and they had an all-nighter last night where they got to have a bunch of fun. They went down to Kalahari to water slides. They got to have community, but in that, they were very intentional about creating an experience for our students to know Jesus, to experience his love in new or fresh ways in their lives. And that is what we want. We want not only just this next generation, but the people that we interact with, the ways that we move out into our communities and through the relationships that we have with indigenous leaders all around this world, for people to experience Jesus. And we get to do that together as a community and our mission together. And one of the ways we do that is through our giving here at Kensington. And so at this time of the service, we are going to receive our offering. And there's different ways you can give. You can give as the ushers will come down. They'll pass the baskets through the rows. Or there on the screen, you can see how you can give electronically. But we just invite you to jump in and be a part of this. Be a part of other people experiencing the love and the hope of Jesus. So thank you so much for being on mission with us. And we are so excited to see how God is going to move in and through us and what he's going to do through our Good Friday and Easter services. And because I happen to be wearing the shirt, what's going to happen at another event coming up, which is the women's retreat. So a little plug here. Ladies, we have our retreat coming up May 17th through the 19th. Its theme is a letter of light and love, and we would love for you to come be a part of that. You can find out more information by talking to myself after service, or you'll notice some other people wearing this shirt. So stop by. We'd love to see you there. Now, I grew up in a faith-centered home, and that meant that we went to church every Sunday morning and every Sunday evening. Did anyone else do that? Okay. And then we had Sunday school, and we had Friday night youth group. Like, it was the practice of our household to be going to church a lot. Well, in much the same manner, the Jewish people in Scripture also had a practice of going to synagogue for worship. And so the story that we're looking at today is out of Luke 13, and it takes place in a synagogue. And it says this: on a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. So Jesus is found teaching in a synagogue because that was a normal practice to have rabbis offer their thoughts and commentary on Scripture. Now, the author here is Luke, and he's actually a physician, and he tells us that in this crowd, that someone present is this woman, and that basically she has been crippled for many, many years of her life. So let's imagine for a moment what life might have been like for her. He said that for the last 18 years, she has been bent over. So that would have meant that probably walking, sitting, laying down had to have been just uncomfortable, difficult, maybe even painful. And she probably endured more than just physical pain. Because many people at this time in culture saw that infirmities were the result of basically God being displeased with someone because of sin or unworthiness in their life. So then they would kind of make people an outcast. So this woman has probably been ostracized and rejected, leaving her feeling so ashamed, alone, discouraged, maybe even abandoned. We continue to read, and it says, when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue leader said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." So Jesus, he heals this woman, and the religious leader is upset. What? What? I mean, isn't healing somebody a good thing? Like, wouldn't the religious want that? But you see, in the Jewish culture, the Sabbath was the Lord's day. So it was a day of rest, of worship. Jesus healing the woman on the Sabbath violated their practices of no work, because healing was seen as a physician's work. Never mind the fact that Jesus touched the woman, because that went against their cultural practices, because men would not normally touch a woman that they were not related to, because they feared it would make them ritually unclean. So basically, Jesus has broken their rules, and their religious leaders, they're upset. Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said all this, his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. So basically, the religious leaders, they hid behind their own set of laws to avoid love's obligation. Well, the only thing that mattered to Jesus was that this woman would experience his love. So he gave this woman value and placed her above any of the religious rules and laws and the practices of his day. And it changed her life. Like, not only did she experience a physical healing, but because Jesus gave her value, it's because he saw her, he touched her, he healed her. I mean, she had been an outcast. I mean, this transformed her life. I mean, Jesus was clearly stating that people mattered more, that he valued people above any of the rules or the practices. Like, that was what mattered and what was important. And the religious leaders missed it. They missed what mattered most. And that makes me wonder, how often do we miss what is most important? How many times do we miss opportunities to connect with someone because we are so preoccupied with our ways, following our agenda, our practices, or our rules? As someone who is a rule follower, it's really easy for me to kind of stay focused and get almost zoned in on a task or my agenda, my ways, or this is how I do things. And I almost can't move away from that. And years ago, when I first started working at a church, I was an assistant director to a ministry training school. And like any school, we had rules for the students, and there were consequences. You could get suspended or expelled if you broke the rules. And I'll never forget this time that I had a meeting with the director about a student who had broken the rules. And I was like, well, this will take about 30 seconds. I mean, it's time for this guy to go. He broke the rules. End of conversation. But the director saw it differently. He thought, well, this would be a great opportunity to show the student some grace and that we could work with him and that it could be a chance for him to grow. And I was like, for him to grow? no. And we went back and forth for like hours. Him being like, Grace, give the guy a second chance. And I was like, no, there are rules. We have to honor the rules. If we don't have the rules, it's chaos and blah. And I got so angry. Woo. Man, I was angry at the director. I was angry that he wanted to show grace. I was angry because we have to honor the rules. But in that, it was as if Jesus was almost just tapping me on the shoulder and inviting me into a different way. Say, hey, come see what the Jesus way is. Because many times living the Jesus way is living a life of disruption, where our rules get broken and sometimes our practices get pushed aside. There's a quote that author and communicator Bob Goff said. He said that sometimes love is inconvenient and disruptive, but it's always worth it. I was so fixated on following the rules that I missed what mattered most. I missed authentically loving that person. See, placing people over our practices is really an invitation for us to live our lives in reflection of the love of Jesus. And love demands effort, it demands sacrifice, and at times it will call us out of our comfort zones, which means our lives will be interrupted. But it will always, always, always be worth it. Because the love of Jesus has the power to transform our lives, to transform the lives of other people, just like that woman in the synagogue. Her life was transformed. And over again, throughout the first four books of the New Testament, which really are a recording of the life of Jesus, which we commonly refer to as the Gospels, we see how Jesus consistently valued people, that he loved people above everything and everything else. And then a guy named Paul also writes about this. Now, Paul, if you're unfamiliar with him, he was very influential in the early church movement, and he wrote many letters that have become what we know as books in the New Testament of the Bible. Now, Paul, he started a church in the city of Philippi, which was a very diverse city. There was all sorts of backgrounds, which most likely then would have been reflected in this church that he started. And with all these different backgrounds, there would have been many different customs and traditions that people would have wanted to live by. And Paul, understanding this, he writes these believers a letter to encourage them to live the Jesus way. And we read this in Philippians chapter 2, and it says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So Paul implored these believers that had all these different types of backgrounds and traditions and customs to live a different way, to live the Jesus way, because he understood that that was the normal thing. The easy thing is to do it your way, your customs. And I get that. So I'm a Canadian. Thank you, yes. That is something to celebrate. I'm kidding, okay? But when I first came to live in the States, man, I was so adamant about like my ways, like how I did things, my background. This is how we did it in Canada. And I would be all ticked off when things were different. So it would be things like using the metric system. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I basically would be like, America, Come on. Everyone else uses it. This has to be the right way. Or I thought that the real Thanksgiving was in October. And I was be like, no, what's this whole November thing? No, people, we celebrate in October. Or that the pronunciation is, it's my mom, not my mom. Or it is the letter Z, not Z. And I would get into so many arguments with people because it was all about me, my customs, my background, the traditions that I had, because this is how we did it in Canada. But in the midst of that, I missed what mattered most. People. And loving people. See, Paul, he was reminding these believers, and really what he's sharing with us is that we are actually to lay aside our ways. And if we really want to place people above our practices, that we have to make them more important. We have to show them interest. And he says that we actually need to guard our hearts against selfishness, that in humility that we would show genuine love and interest in people. In humility. See, humility is not just thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Because it's not about us. It's not about our ways, my rules, my customs, my practices. It's about others and putting them ahead, that we would see them, that we would honor, we would elevate and love others. And then as we continue to read in Philippians, Paul goes on to reveal the ultimate way that Jesus really lived this out. He shares with us how far God was willing to go to break every rule for all people, including us. It says this in verse 6, and this is talking about Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. The death and resurrection of Jesus is the absolute utmost greatest display of rule breaking for all of humanity. We live in a world that is filled with rules and laws, practices, customs, fear, brokenness and suffering and pain. But Jesus, he cared more about us living in new life and in his amazing grace and his love, so much so that he went to the cross of Calvary to reconcile the brokenness of sin to himself. This is the way of Jesus. This is the ultimate way to place people over a practice. And because of the cross, we are invited that we can actually encounter and experience in a personal connection with Jesus through relationship with him. And maybe for some of us that's new, maybe we have some questions, we're still trying to figure it out, that's okay. Because we don't have to have it all figured out. We can still have some doubts and be curious. It's about going on this journey with Jesus. And for any of us who are Christ followers, it's about continuing that, going deeper in our relationship with him. Because if we ever actually want to really love people, to lay aside our ways and to place people over our practices, it flows out of a relationship with Jesus. Because the more that we draw closer to Jesus, then the more our hearts reflect his heart, the more our life reflects his love, where our love becomes like his love. Now you could say, well, that's really great, but why does that matter? I mean, that sounds good. People are more important. Good human thing. Awesome. Think about it like this. What's the speed limit in a neighborhood? It's 25. And it's 25 to keep people safe that live there, that are walking there, kids maybe who are playing. But what if a child, say, fell from a tree fort and they got severely injured and they needed to be rushed to the hospital? Would you drive 25? I mean, I would hope not. I mean, if the child really needs to get to that hospital desperately, I mean, who cares? Like, who cares about the law? Who cares that you go 25? What matters most in that moment is that you get the kid to the hospital. We live in a world where the people around us are hurting emotionally and spiritually. And Christ followers, we have what they need. But sometimes we tend to value the speed limit more. We're more concerned with our man-made rules of religion, our customs, our ways of doing things, what we have imposed as right or wrong. But yet next to us, right next to us, somebody is dying. Somebody is dying for them to be seen, to actually experience connection, and we have what they need. So let's be people who break the rules, who push aside our practices, our ways, and pursue relationship with people so that we can share the good news and the love of Jesus with them. Because Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the hope. He is the healing. He is the transformation that people are crying out for. And what's crazy in all of this is that he chooses us. Like, he desires to use us for other people to experience the love and the hope of him through relationships. So then how do we do that? We need to look up and see people. In the synagogue that day, it wasn't just Jesus, a religious leader, and this woman, like, sitting on three stools. Remember, going to synagogue was a very important practice in the Jewish culture, which meant that there would have been many people, maybe even a large crowd of people who had gathered there that day. But Jesus noticed the woman. He saw her within the crowd. See, when we're so consumed with our ways, our practices, our rules, the ways we do it, we're in a sense looking down because it's all about us. We need to look up. We need to look up from our practices, look up from our work, look up from our schedules, from our business, look up from our biases so we can see people. So we can see the people who are right next to us, or the people that we would never notice. Or even see the people that we've tried to ignore. Maybe your neighbor that you just don't really like. Or that person who votes differently than you. Or the one that has a lifestyle that you just don't agree with. We are invited to look up, to see beyond the surface, beyond our stereotypes, the indifferences, and to see the value and worth of each person. To see that they matter. And see, we can look up when we slow down. We live in a very fast-paced culture. I mean, we're just moving at Mach speed. So that means that we might need to intentionally almost take a step back and slow down. Because when we slow down, we begin to see the people around us. We'll see the person who's lonely, who's broken, who's dying on the inside. We'll see that mom sitting in a dentist's office looking overwhelmed. And because we see her, we'll be able to offer her a smile or a word of encouragement. We'll see the man standing on the corner asking for help. Instead of just blazing right by, maybe we'll stop and have a conversation. So what could that look like for us this week? How could you maybe just slow down a little to better see the people around you? We see people when we are curious. It's really easy to go through life with assumptions about other people. But many times our assumptions lead us to ignoring people or putting up walls or rejecting people. So what if the next time you interact or you see someone, and it might be someone that you would never normally ever talk to or associate with, what if we were curious instead of cautious? What if you asked a question to maybe just get to know their perspective? I mean, how could you do that even this week? What kind of question could you ask? Maybe you just need to Think about that. Or in the opportunities that you are with people to be curious. We see people when we pray. We can have the best intentions but still miss people. So ask God to help you see. Ask him to help you see the people that are right around you or the people that you would never otherwise notice. But not only that, but ask him to give you the eyes to see as he sees them, to see their value, their worth. Now, we are in a season here at Kensington called Reaching the One in our year theme of Above All. And our senior pastor, Brian Mowry, has challenged us specifically at this time to pray for three. To pray for three people to share Jesus with. And if you're not doing that already, I would invite you to jump in and be a part of that, to start praying for three people. And as you pray for those three people, pray that maybe God would give you eyes to see them in new ways, to see their value, to maybe see ways that you could place them above the practices and the ways of your life. Placing people over our practices is an invitation for us to live the Jesus way. But I know maybe for some of us here today, if we were honest, we might say that we've been living more in reflection of the religious leaders than that of Jesus. I was confronted with that reality this week. And it broke me. It just shattered me. Because I really want to see people. But more than just seeing people, I actually want to live in a way that really places them above my ways, my agendas, my busyness, my schedule. I really want them to be what matters most. And that's what we're invited into, to see people, to slow down, to be curious, and to ask God how we can live this way, how we can place people over our practices. But I also know that maybe for some of us here today, we resonate with the woman in the synagogue. Maybe you've just felt alone, disconnected, rejected. Know that even in this large room with all of these people, or if you are watching online, God sees you. He values you, and he desires that you would encounter and experience who he is and his love in a personal way in your life today. The Jesus way is seeing that people matter because they matter to God, which means that they should matter to us. And we're invited to live the Jesus way, a different way, a better way. And in just a moment, our team is going to lead us in a song that talks just about that. And I would encourage you to lean in, to listen and reflect on those lyrics. And when we place people over our practices, we show the people around us, the world around us, that we see them, that they matter, and that even though we live in this world that is filled with brokenness, sin, pain, and suffering, there is hope. There is grace. There is love. And his name is Jesus. Will you join me as I pray? God, I just pray for each one of us here today that you would continue to teach us how to live the Jesus way, to place people above our ways, the rules that we have created, the practices, the biases that we have, and that we would begin to see people. Maybe it's seeing the people that are right next to us. And God, I pray that you would give us eyes to see. I pray that we would be curious. I pray that we would slow down. And that we would take steps to live in the reflection of your love. And for any of us, God, here today, or who are watching online, and we feel so alone. We feel like we're so far away and we're just desperate for someone, for anybody to see us. I pray that today there would be an encounter with you in a personal way, to know that you do see and that you value each and every single one of us and that we matter to you, God. Help us, God, to live the Jesus way. In your name, amen.
You've been listening to the Kensington Church Podcast. If you've enjoyed this recording, check back weekly for new content. You can find Kensington on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and of course, at kensingtonchurch.org.